So you called me, it must have been late summer, right, of last year, because part of Dan's vision is also personal development as well as business development. And in the personal development realm, there's a training program that he and you have developed called Intentional Sidekick. It's basically teaching people how to be intentional with their thinking and planning so that they can actually get done what they want to get done in their life. So you said, "Hey, we're testing out this new curriculum. We need about 35 people. We'd love if you could come and be one of our guinea pigs." And I signed up, went through the 9-week course, and by the end of the 9 weeks, I was just like, I was like, "Holy cow! I've never been intentional about this sort of planning in my life, about anything, whether it's relationships or money or work." And it was a huge eye opener for me. And at the end of that 9-week period, we all kind of looked at each other, and I'll let you take the story from there.
Well, I'll just rewind a little teeny tiny bit because it was right around week three, maybe week four. But we had all met at a fundraiser, so not course related, but for something else. And you walked in and you just had this pep in your step and this glow about you. And you were like, "Elise, this course is going to change my life." And I was like, "Oh, he has no idea. He has no idea." And I remember calling Dan after that breakfast luncheon. I think it was a luncheon. And I said, "You know, we're building this thing, and you don't really want to be the face of it, and I don't really want to be the face of it. And quite honestly, if we're gonna redeem work, we're gonna need a lot of faces, a lot of faces. And we happen to have one in our course right now, in our beta group, who is a very familiar face around the Pacific Northwest that is known for telling amazing stories. And I think we might be able to talk him into joining our team."
And so for just for some background, it was probably in January of last year I was invited not to work in television anymore.
Is that how we say it? Is that what we're
Yeah,
calling it?
there's a term that television people use. It's called unrenewed, if you get unrenewed. So, we obviously work on a contract basis, and they can come to you at any point near the end of the contract and just say, "Hey, we're not going to renew your contract." So I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about that. I mean, I think the fact that the company has been sold or is in the process of being sold to a hedge fund will tell you kind of what their priorities were, and I'll just leave it at that. So, and I'll tell you and I, Elise, know each other well enough that when I was earlier in my career, when something like this would happen, the natural inclination is to completely freak out. And I had it happened when I was in Spokane. I had a almost 2-year-old son at the time, our first child, and I got the rug pulled out from under me during a contract negotiation. And they offered me the morning show again, and I just thought about it. And I thought, that's not a growth opportunity. But so here I am. It's like October. I'm on a ladder painting my house on the South Hill of Spokane, this little tiny house that Jamie and I lived in. And I'm thinking, "Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do?" I was literally freaking out. And then the phone rang, and a news director in Salt Lake City said, "Hey, we're familiar with your work, and we'd like you to come down." So, long story short, we ended up going down to Salt Lake City for 4.5 years and got to see the Olympics down there, and then came back up to Seattle in 2003. Worked for the Fox affiliate for I think 8 years, and then moved over to King 5. So, if there's any advice I could give to younger people, and now I'm sounding old, right?
I'd
does
like
this
to give
does,
some adv I'd like
does
to give some advice.
are you said y younger people, so is that are you not talking to me anymore? I just need to check.
No,
I don't know.
you're
I don't
younger than I am, so take it for what it's worth. But when I'll tell you to an instance when I have had the rug pulled out from under me from a professional standpoint, it has always led to something better. Always. So what I learned fairly early on was, and it's hard not to freak out when your source of income is taken away. So I saw that invitation not to work as a TV anchor anymore as an opportunity. And so I was in the mortgage industry for a while last year because I had kind of planned for the inevitability of that uninvitation. But the timing was just not right. You know, interest rates started going up, and I was in mortgages for about 4 months. And then, and I was with a wonderful, wonderful company, Cross Country Mortgage, and Julie Johnson, her team there is just fantastic. She was an amazing mentor. But the reality was, you guys came to me and offered me this job that sounded just frankly too good to be true. And but I had a good enough feeling because I'd spent enough time with you all. I had a good enough feeling for, you know, your character and Dan's character, and I took a jump. I took a leap. And late last year, you guys offered me the position of podcast host. And going to be doing some leading some seminars as well, and I said yes, and here we are with the podcast
here
up and
we
running.
Are. It's running. It's a real thing. You know, is it too soon to start making the beats working jokes? Beats working.
And the background to that is that, you know, Dan started saying that a long, long time ago. I think in the 90s when. He loved work, and he said that there were some work experiences that he would have paid the company to get those work experiences. Mm-hmm. I think though, for people listening, if they didn't listen already to the first episode with Dan, the idea of redeeming work, when people ask you what does it mean to redeem work, and what really are we trying to do with this podcast and with all of the other things that we're doing?
Yeah, and you know, I now have a bunch of different things swirling around my head. When I left the magazine, I was there for close to a decade, and I took some time off. I'd had a series of unfortunate events. I had had emergency heart surgery, not exactly a heart attack, but it was almost a heart attack at the age of 40. That did require putting a stent in. My son was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. Our dog died. Like, everything that could have gone wrong did. So I was like... And I had become a full-blown workaholic. Because there is a thing of loving something too much, too hard, right? So I needed to do a reset. And that was really scary because my whole identity was wrapped up in that job, in that position. And at first I thought, well, now is my opportunity. My child is grown. I could go anywhere. I could work for the big magazines. I could go to LA. I could go to New York. And so I did. I went and took some interviews. But then I realized if I were to take a job in another market, not only would I have to leave the Pacific Northwest, which I love, like I love it here. It's beautiful. I love the seasons. My parents live here.
And you grew up here. Centralia?
I grew up here, Centralia. My parents are, you know, married for 50 years, still live in my childhood home. And I couldn't imagine living somewhere else. And quite honestly, with a gal like me who moves throughout the world largely because of my network, I could not, like, networking is work. And like to go to a new city and start all over again, building out a new network. I don't know. That's a younger person's game, or at least it was not one I was super excited about. So I flailed a little bit, but then the right opportunity came along at King, and I was perfectly, perfectly happy to be there. I got to do all the things that I love, working with great and talented people. The one overarching thing that it always kind of nagged at me throughout my career was I mentioned that I'm sober. I didn't get sober till I was 30. I entered the workforce at, you know, 18, 19. I dropped out of college in large part due to lifestyle choices. And then I was a very young single mom. And so I've always had this monkey on my back of I'm not good enough as everybody else in these corporate settings because I don't have a college degree. I don't have a university degree. I don't have a master's in anything. I don't have any certificates hanging on my wall. Apparently, rehab is not a good enough certificate to hang on a wall. Weird. I don't know. But I just want to do a little foreshadow. I know that I've already listened to a couple of the episodes that you've recorded for this podcast. And I was listening to Jeff Koss, and he was talking about that he went and got a college degree, and it was a big deal because his dad had not had one. So it was a really big deal, spent all this time, spent all this money. And then what he learned was that everything he learned there, he was not actually applicable once he got into the workplace. So the first six months were really transformative. And I have to tell you, when I heard that, that little monkey on my back that said, you're less than because you don't have this degree like a lot of other people that you roll with have, it fell off a little bit more. And it's not completely gone. It may never be completely gone. But if we're going to redeem work, Mark, we have to talk about it in all ways and all implications. And so I'm just, I've always loved working. I'm a good worker bee. Mm-hmm. And I love working for companies that I think are doing great things. And what is not lost on me, though, is you and I are taking this leap of faith together.
Yeah.
Publicly. Right?